This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Facebook comes out swinging as Australia continues to clamp down on big tech. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Facebook has threatened to block Australian users, including media companies, from sharing news stories on the social network in a move the Australian government has labeled ill-timed and misconceived. Regulators there are in the process of implementing new regulations aimed at protecting publishers who they say are struggling due to the lost advertising revenue. Australian Treasurer Josh Frydenberg says the government will not back down in the face of mounting pressure.
We want a sustainable media environment, and key to that is to see payment for original journalistic content. And so we're committed to these reforms. We won't be bullied, no matter how big the international company is, no matter how valuable they are.
It's one of the biggest dust-ups to date between big tech and regulators who want to rein in the power companies like Facebook have on the internet, as the BBC's Shaima Khalil explains.
Well, Facebook essentially issued this threat to stop people sharing news content in Australia as a response to a proposed law by the government put in place by the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, the consumer watchdog. The regulator has said Facebook should be paying news organizations for the content it carries. And the government's argument is that this will address the power imbalances and the income imbalances between news outlets and the digital tech giants. Facebook's response to that was this actually misunderstood the dynamics of the internet. It was going to harm the news organizations. And essentially that if this code of conduct becomes a law, they will reluctantly stop allowing publishers and people in Australia from sharing local and international news, not just on Facebook, but also on Instagram.
What have media companies had to say about this, particularly smaller ones that these rules are arguably designed to protect? Because Facebook argued that clicks from the platform to those sites generated about $200 million for Australian media companies.
Well, that's right. The Australian New Zealand Managing Director for Facebook, Will Easton, said that the traffic generated for these news organizations in the first 5 months alone was about 2.3 billion clicks. But I think what the government are essentially arguing about is fair competition. The fact that these news organizations do not stand a chance in the face of these tech giants, and that for the longest time, Facebook and Google have essentially had a free ride to all this content, including quality journalism that costs a lot of money that they haven't paid for.
Many governments around the world, including the U.S., have complained about the size and scope and power of some of these big tech giants. Other countries certainly must be watching.
I think it will have to do with how this pans out, to be honest. I think if Facebook gets its way and essentially stops people from sharing, then it doesn't matter if the country puts in the laws. If it does come to a negotiation with the big news companies, then that's real progress. And I think that then can kind of be taken on.
Potentially precedent-setting stuff here. The BBC's Shaima Khalil in Sydney. Thanks so much.
Great to be with you.
Checking the numbers, it's a quiet start to a new month after global shares notched a more than 6.5% rise in August. The pan-European Stock 600 index here is little changed, pairing early gains after Germany warned economic growth in 2021 may not be as robust as initially thought. The COVID-19 pandemic has threatened a global employment crisis. Workers across a range of industries found themselves out of work overnight as economies the world over locked down for months to prevent spread of the virus. In the U.S., for example, unemployment ballooned as the economy shed millions of jobs. Here in the U.K., 2.7 million workers claimed unemployment benefits between March and July, but the unemployment rate has held steady near a 40-year low. That's because a series of government measures have kept millions of workers on payrolls. Since March, the government has paid 80% of furloughed workers' wages. But starting today, the burden is shifting. For the first time, employers will be expected to kick in cash to cover 10% of those paychecks. Business groups are warning some employers may struggle to cover the extra costs. Craig Beaumont from Britain's Federation of Small Businesses explains the government program may have just delayed the inevitable rise in unemployment.
19% of small employers say they're likely to reduce headcount in the next 3 months. And that is connected to the fact that people are now thinking about the future. Are these jobs there for people to come to return to? So we expect there will inevitably be an increase in unemployment, looking at sectors like wholesale and retail, manufacturing and construction, and arts and entertainment.
Swimming teacher Tracy White is one of those millions currently furloughed. She said she and her colleagues are worried about what lies ahead.
Our furlough will come to an end on the 14th of September, so our October pay packet will only be 50%. We were all contacted by email to ask to kind of apply for work. They're only running a third of the classes that they would normally run. There's not going to be enough work to go around. I've got two disabled children at home, one with autism, one that's blind, that's just about to start university. So the working is not only my lifeline, it's also my financial support network to get them what they need.
The government's support for furloughed workers is expected to completely wind down by October. And despite calls for it to be extended, as countries like France and Germany have done with similar programs, Chancellor Rishi Sunak has repeatedly ruled out the possibility, saying the government's ability to help private companies pay employees is not something they can carry on indefinitely. Ian McCafferty, a former member of the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee, says despite lingering problems, the shift in working patterns may very well bring on permanent changes to the labor market.
I think they will come under a lot of pressure from the individual sectors. I'm not sure that there's very much that they can do in terms of continuation of the furlough scheme. The definitions of jobs are not exact, and as a result, you get terrible complications if you try and do sectoral assistance. It's also the case, much that I recognise the damage that this does to individual people's lives, that some of these jobs, as a result of the coronavirus, are not going to be viable into the longer term. And we therefore have to allow the economy to adjust to allow them to move into new sectors.
Ian McCafferty, a former BOE policymaker there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.